Praise God. Don't we serve a great God? Amen. 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 Give him a hand clap this morning for just being a great God. If you would, open up your Bibles. Get your Bibles out. Go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14, if you would, please. I'm still in a preaching mood, so I'm just going to preach to you today. That's okay. Glory to God. I want to ask you as a church, just listen, would y'all just do me a favor? Would you just increase your prayer this time this week over Pastor Laura and I this week? Just pray for us this week, okay? We just need some prayer, some things going on, but we need some prayer, okay? I want to know that the church has got me covered. Y'all got us covered? So if you did pray for 2 seconds, make it 3. Just cover us this day. Other thing I want to ask you is pray for the church. Something's going on. Something's a little, we had a break-in over at the offices. And so be praying that everything's covered. Nothing was taken. All right? But just be praying over it. It's kind of interesting because I never say much about things like this, but it runs in cycles. About every 5 or 6 years. I don't know if it takes that long to make enough people mad at me or what, but start to notice things happen. It's just a demonic attack is all it is. The devil can just speak to somebody to get them to do stuff, and you know, so all kinds of crazy things happened, and sometimes it has nothing to do with anybody around here, because you got to remember, we're on the radio, we're on the internet, we are all over the country, and so I've gotten crazy letters from everybody all over the place. But anyway, y'all just pray, okay? Not that I'm spooked, not that I'm scared, that's why Samuel Colt made everything equal. thank you, Jesus. I don't know why I stand up here and look at that Bible like I can see anything. Yeah. Let me get my glasses out. Okay, here we go. Oh, the world comes alive. Thank you. Okay, I want to start here. I want to preach a message to you. And the title of this message, I usually don't even have a title, but I do have a title. The title of my message today is Don't Cry Over Spilt Milk. Don't cry over spilt milk. Everybody say don't cry over spilt milk. Look at the person beside you, kind of poke them a little bit there and say, wake up, don't cry over spilt milk. Let me show you a little example here. Miss Jan, you love me, right? Okay. Okay, I want to do something here. Just water. Brian, can you pick that water up for me there, please? Fred. I'm sorry. I've already forgot my message. No matter what we want to do, we can go down there with a... What is that commercial with that thing that they got? The ShamWow. We can go get the ShamWow cloth and try to soak up every bit we can, but there's still water going to be left down there. That it's splattered, it's spilled, it's on there. You can't pick it up. You can't pick up spilt water. You can't pick up spilt milk. In this life that we live, no matter how much you try to be perfect, you're going to make mistakes. Hello? Hello? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm sorry, you're not perfect. Speaking of not being perfect, husbands, listen to me. Today, tomorrow, do you know what tomorrow is? What was that? Monday. Valentine's Day. It means nothing to you, men, but it means everything to them. Enough said. Want me to call Grant, tell him? Call a florist? Call somebody. I'm lost now. I don't know what I was preaching. Spill milk. Can't pick it all up. ShamWow. No matter how much, you can't get it. Where was I going from there? Oh, no matter what you are. Here we go. Now we're back on track. Finally flipped up in my head. Got that file right. You're going to make mistakes. You, no matter how perfect you try to be, no matter how much you try to, I don't care that you are the most complex, crazy, obsessive compulsive disorder and ADD and in whatever else you're doing. I don't care how much you think that you're on top of everything, that you're just, everything's got to be perfect. I want to tell you something. You're going to make mistakes. In your drive for perfection, you're going to mess up. It's messing up just having a drive for perfection. There was only one perfect person. His name is Jesus. And you're not him. Look at the person beside you and say, you're not him. Look at the person on the other side and say, not even close. You're not Jesus. Listen to me. You're not the Savior. You're not Jesus. You're not the one who's perfect. You say, well, Pastor Jesus, I want to please him, so I'm going to do everything perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You've missed the whole point. The point you missed is it's not that you're trying to be perfect and so he's going to be pleased with you. Is you're perfect because you have believed in him. Listen to me. Your perfection comes in life because of his blood over your life. Not because of who you are. When you stand before the throne of God and make your prayers are not heard because you're perfect. Your prayers are heard because the blood of Jesus is over your life. Hello. Y'all with me? You following me here? Yes, we want to do good. Yes, we want to be pleasing. Like we would, but you're still going to make mistakes in doing that. You're going to make mistakes. Now, it's not that we have, live a life of cheap grace and say, oh, well, I'm going to mess up. Might as well mess up anyway. You know. No. I'm not selling cheap grace this morning. I'm going to get to not crying over spilt milk in just a second, but I just got to lead up to this. Folks, you got to get out of that mentality that you think you can earn works and you can earn favor and that you can earn a pleasing state with Jesus, because I'm telling you, you can't. If, man, I'm telling you what, one of the greatest rackets they ever had was selling indulgences. You're in trouble. You want to come up there. You come to me and I sell you this piece of paper. It says you're absolved from your sin. And you tell me what it is and then I tell you what the price is. What a great deal for the preacher. Right? But you see, what they did is people did it because then that made them feel good that they had bought this indulgence. I've paid my penance. I've done my work. Therefore, I can be absolved of my sin. Folks, listen to me. You don't work to get absolved of sin. You pray and you ask for forgiveness and you repent. And when you repent, then you're saved. Your sin's washed away. Hello? See, I know why I'm preaching like this, because I was watching Billy Graham last night, 1956, in the Madison Square Gardens. Anybody else see that last night? No? Oh, man. And Ethel Waters up there singing. It's, it's like, yeah, sing it. I liked it so much, I went in there and downloaded the song on my phone. Got so inspired. I was crying, standing in front of the TV, saying, look at that woman sing that song. Sing it, Ethel, sing it. A side note here. Help me get back to where I was in a minute. Side note here. You've got to find things in your life that helps your soul touch heaven. I don't care if it's standing out on your porch looking at the sunset. Have you noticed that the sunsets, sometimes they're pink and sometimes they're blue? And sometimes they're a mixture? Sometimes they're yellowish. Does it touch your soul to know that you're God that made it? That he's there? Does go out on a starry night and you look up at the stars? You got to find things that touch your soul. A song. This lady singing the song. She loved Jesus with all her heart. You can see the expressions on her face. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you need to go look it up if you haven't. 1956, Madison Square Garden. Billy Graham preaching. You got to find things that touch your soul. Back to my spilt milk. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your forgiveness. It's called a relationship with the living God. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ coming in and touching your soul. And when you mess up, you ask for forgiveness. Now, we have a story here of 2 Samuel chapter 14 of a son, two sons, actually, from two different wives that David had. And the short of the story is one son began to lust over the other son's daughter, and he had relations with her, and the other son was mad for a long time. It took him about 2 years and finally got him out by the water hole one day and killed him. So because he killed his brother, he was exiled. He was gone. Absalom was away from the city. He was away from David. And he went off, and he was off for a while. He kept wanting to come back and wanting to come back, but David, the king, never would show his face any favor towards him so he could come back home. He was banished, taken out. Everybody say banished. Exile. Say exile. Cast away. Say cast away. Have you ever felt banished, exiled, or cast away because your sin kept you away from God? You see, there's one thing, I guess you could make it several categories, but there's one category of sin that you feel ashamed so you don't want to go talk to God because you know what you did was wrong. There's another category of shame is that you don't want to go talk to God because you don't want to have to repent for what you did, right? You're mad at somebody or you're hurt about this or you're that and you don't want to change. Hello? What? Wow. You should have heard Billy preach it last night. He did such a better job. Not really. Okay, I gotta back up just a second. And y'all forgive me for just flitting all over the place. But my wife and I were sitting there watching Billy Graham. I can't get off of seeing this thing last night. And so, you know, it's 1956. You should have heard him preach. Oh, man. I had to go repent. I mean, this man threw down the fire. He was preaching, and he was so dramatic with his hands. And everybody just... come out of the stands, thousands of people. Amazes me the conviction of people's hearts. Today, when you preach like that, not you guys, but I'm talking about in the world, everybody says, I don't like that old preacher. No, preachers all be quiet over there, whatever. Something's wrong with the hardness of people's hearts today. Back to my story. Have you ever felt banished? Have you ever done something and your sin made you feel banished and you're ashamed and so you don't want to go, or you just don't want to change so you don't go? I'm not even talking about to the person. I'm talking about to God. Hello? I'm talking about your relationship with God. So Absalom's been banished. The king won't show him any favor. He won't turn to him because he murdered his brother. Okay? And so, Joab, who was the commander of the army at that time, comes up with this idea. He hires a woman to pretend to have a problem between her sons and brings the matter before the king to kind of like bait him into this scenario that's going on in this woman's life to let him make a decision so that then she can kind of catch him in his own words of why he won't let his son come back. It's a wonder she didn't get killed. I don't know how much she got paid, but it surely wasn't enough. So she goes to the king, and that's what happens. And so let's just pick this story up in verse 8. So the king said to the woman, go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you. And the woman of Tekoa answered the king and said, my lord, O king, let the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless. So the king says, whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch anything anymore. And she said, please let the king remember the Lord your God, and do not permit the avenger of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son. Because she's told him the story about the one son killed the other son, and now the avengers of the blood are of the other family going to come and hunt him down. And he says, therefore the woman said, please let your maidservant speak another word to the Lord, the king. And he said, well, say on. I like that. Well, say on. So the woman said, why then have you schemed such a thing against the people of God? For the king speaketh this thing as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring his banished one home again. So she flipped it on him, see? She's told the story, and the king said, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible that your sons are fighting each other like that. And that's terrible. Don't let the banished ones. That's just not going to work at all. So you go out there, and I'm going to send whatever it needs, a protection over you, so that nobody can come in there. Nobody's going to harm any of your family. It's going to be done. The king said it. So the woman says, well, then how come you're guilty and you've done that? I mean, you think she's going, right? Just cut her throat right there. But David was a man after God's own heart. He'd get wrong. He'd do things that were wrong. But he had a heart for God and a heart to follow God. And so when he knew when he was wrong, he admitted it. Right? When he knew he was wrong with God, he just said, man, I'm wrong. He didn't care who it was. He would repent quickly. So we go in here. And so David says, you know, you're right. Now look at verse 14. For we will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but he devises means so that his banished ones are not expelled from him or cast out from him. He devises means. Do you know today, if you're in a broken relationship with God, that God is trying to figure out a way to get you back with him? Whoo! I'm certainly glad that we're not God. He's like, he so much wants to have a relationship with you. And I'm not saying that condescendingly. I'm just saying God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with me. Ernie, God wants to sit down with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be around Ernie. Folks, is that just kind of blow your mind a little bit? Hello? Think about right now, naturally, in this world, somebody that you really, really admire, whether it's a celebrity or I was going to say a politician, but I don't know where that came from. But a person you admire in this life, all right? And that person called you and wanted to have dinner. Whoever it be, I don't care who it be. Whoever it be, somebody that you really admire, wanted to have, you know, let's have lunch. Would you clear your schedule? I mean, if it's somebody you really admired, would you clear everything to be there? Right, because it'd be the most important thing to you. And they're wanting to talk with you. Right? Years ago, long time ago, probably 1985, there was a guest minister. Living Waters Church didn't exist, and there was a guest minister with the Methodist Church. His name was Benjamin Rubin. He was a Jewish man, and he came into the over in the church. I don't even understand how he even got there, but anyway, he showed up there. And man, I was young in the Lord. I was still wet saved. I just got born again. And so I listened to this man speak, and I was so amazed at what this man had to say. And I remember calling to say, can I speak with this guy? Could I just meet him? Could I just sit down and just talk with him? And so the people he was staying with asked him, you know, there's a young man, you know, and he was really on fire for the Lord, and he'd like to speak with you. And so he agreed, and I went over there to their house and sat down, and I never forget, he came down, he was taking a nap, got him up from his nap, came down. I felt really embarrassed that, you know, but I was so hungry for God, and this man had more of God in him than anybody had ever seen before, and I wanted to know. And so he sat down, and he said, well, what do you want to know? And I remember looking at him and said, everything. And he was like, excuse me? And I said, man, I want to know everything. And then he realized, you know, I wasn't crazy. I was just hungry. But that's the only thing I could say to him. I just want to know everything. I'm willing just to sit here, and I want to hear from you. That's what the disciples did with Jesus. When Jesus came up, his presence was so, and they were so hungry that it said, they dropped their nets, they dropped everything they had in life, and they went with him. But wait a minute, it's flipped. The God of the universe wants to make an appointment with you at your convenience. I'm just reading the Bible, isn't that what he said? Wait a minute, prayer time that you're having or your relationship with the Lord's not about you making an appointment with him to see if you can get into his busy schedule. This don't even make good sense, folks. He's God, and you're not. Yet he is waiting for your phone call. He's waiting for your appointment. He's waiting for you to call and say, I would like to have lunch with you. And he's like, sets aside his schedule to be with you. So if we say, well, God's not, I don't know, God's not moving much in my life anymore. Have you had time? Have you set an appointment? Have you? He would be there. He said he'd be there. He said right there. He's looking for ways to bring the banished ones back. If you've banished, you've banished. He wants you back. Hello? I can tell you this. Bible says there's one thing that he doesn't want to talk to you. That after you do that, that's it. And he says, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So that's you've drawn the line there. But I can tell you right now, you hadn't blasphemed the Holy Spirit, or otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here. Because when you get to that point in life, you don't want to have anything to do with God. The actor the other day that stood up on whatever one of those shows was and said, you know, thank God I'm an atheist. You know, I thought to myself, you're an idiot. He said, I'd like to just thank God that I'm an atheist. Idiot. Y'all following me on this? Steve, it don't make sense, does it, that the God of this world is waiting for you to make an appointment with him? And that no matter where you feel that you've been exiled or banished to, you're the one that exiled and banished you. The devil's just standing there selling you tickets. Yeah, you did that. You better go to Tahiti, man. I'm telling you, you better really get out of here. I should have spent more time right here at this point. You could just really develop this. He has tickets, you know. So then you're buying tickets as to the degree of your sin. And the very last one is to the ends of the earth. You feel like you've been banished to the ends of the earth, you know. Is the last ticket, oh, you need this one. And you buy it and you banish yourself to the end of the earth. And say, well, God would never deal with me. God's not going to forgive me. God, I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've been too bad. I've done this. I've gone there. I told y'all one time about that I was in jails, in the jail preaching. I wasn't in jail. I was in the jail preaching. And this guy was standing there, and I just noticed that day when I walked out into that Bay Area. And, you know, it was a pretty long, you know, that thing was probably at least, I don't know, 50 feet long where a car would enter into. And they had the two gates down. And that's where they turned the guys out. And they just put me out there with them. And we walked out there. I noticed that everyone was standing on this side. And there was one man standing over here on this side. And so I just stand there. And I was like, that's strange. And so I said, sir, would you like to come down here? And when I did, I said, sir, I heard everybody go, huh? And I was like, I looked back at everybody and everybody was like, because after a few weeks, those guys would be in jail. They'd all get to know me. They're like, don't say anything. And I looked down there. It didn't look too intimidating to me, you know. And he was a, you know, biker dude, older guy. He looked bad, but I mean, so did everybody in there. I didn't look too good myself. But anyway, so finally I said, well, this is ridiculous. You know, a guy standing here by himself. So I went down there and I said, excuse me, sir. And he was just standing up against the wall like this. And he just looked up real slowly at me. This guy had the coldest eyes that any person I've ever seen in my life. And I said, yeah. I said, we're having a little church service down here. If you want to come down here, love to have you with us. And he just looked at me like, are you ignorant or what? And I stood there for a minute. He said, son, he says, you don't understand. It's no sense to me talking to God. I've done too much. And I said, really? I said, well, what'd you do? And that's one of the things I tell you, never ask anybody what they did. And he said, son, I've murdered. I said, oh, really? Is that all? And he just floored him. And I said, hold on before you get mad. And I grabbed my Bible and I said, you see this? Is this about 2/3 of the New Testament right here? It's written by the man named the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer too. He drug Christians off and killed them. He drug Christians. He stood right there and held people's coats where they stoned somebody to death. I said, he drug women and children off into prisons, and he did horrible things, but he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament because Jesus touched his heart. And I never forget that man. Says, I can't wait to get to heaven and see him. That day, that man, tears rolled down his eyes. And he said, you mean I can be forgiven? I said, man, you sure can be. I said, all we got to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. All you got to do is pray right now and ask him to forgive you and repent of your sins, and he'll do it. And that man took my hands and he says, I want to pray. And I led that man through a sinner's prayer right there. He was weeping and crying. And when he looked up, you could see the change in his eyes that Jesus came to live in his heart. I never saw that guy again. Never saw him again. But that man was living under the curse of believing what he had done was too bad for God to accept him. What he did was horrible by taking another person's life. But that didn't mean God banished him and exiled him and he'd never have a place. Folks, we've got to come to understand that God wants to have a relationship with you. Let me take it one step farther. Go to the Gospel of John 17 and let's hear it out of Jesus' own words. The Gospel of John chapter 17. I'll close up here. Now just hang with me for a minute more. In John chapter 17, verse 20, he says, Jesus, it's in red, John 17, 20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now, do you fit in there? Do you fit in there? Right? Because he says, I'm not going to pray for these. I'm not, he said, in other words, he's, because you over in 19 on back, he was praying and talking about the disciples. But he says, I do not pray for these alone, talking about the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that's you, right? So Jesus is speaking about what he's praying for you. You can put your name in there. That they may be one as you, Father. No, let me read that right. That they may all that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me. Whoo! He said, I just don't want to come know you. I just don't want to come have a time with you. I want to come and be one with you. It's hard for us to grasp and understand the love of God because we look at it all in human ways and emotions. But God loves you so much that He wants you to give Him an invitation to come into your life so that you and Him can spend time together so that He literally can become one with you. When you keep giving Him the invitation and He keeps showing up, He is so awesome. He is so awesome that as you spend time with Him, you start to become like Him. So much so that God said we're going to be one. That's amazing. Yet the devil's selling you tickets to the ends of the world to get away from God because you don't think that, or you think that what you've done's banished you and exiled you, or that you don't know that God that well, or He wouldn't want to talk to you. The devil sold you some kind of line, because if you spend time with Jesus, then He's going to rub off on you. And then everything that's going on in your life and in your world is going to begin to change because you've been spent time with the Master. Hello? We all make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. Praise God, He forgives us. Praise God, He is awaiting your invitation to come dine with you. Wow. Wow. Is that amazing? Praise God. Well, stand to your feet.